Welcome to Block Blunders, the comedy podcast where two comedians try to come up with the plots of movies that they haven't seen. They just work off their beautiful brains and pop culture references and just what they reckon. It's just about what we reckon.
We go off a vibe.
We go off a vibe. My name is Pat Sunderland.
My name's Pat Sunderland.
What the hell? It's not. Stop the recording. I'm trapped in a labyrinth of my own mind.
Pat's recording with himself. My name's Barry Walsh, of course.
And today we are doing a film that we had a listener email in with a list of film suggestions, and they suggested the film Polar. And then they included an addendum saying, please don't do the Polar Express, by the way, because I hate that movie. Well, guess what, idiot?
We're doing it.
We're doing the Polar Express.
This is the thing. You now join part of the long list of listeners who have emailed in that are now technically worms.
Yeah, exactly. You're a worm.
We don't respect your decision on things. And
If you've got a problem with that, start your own podcast and you can guest on ours. Yeah. That's our promise to you. Now,
it's the opposite of a suggestion, listener suggestion.
Yes, this is a please don't do this movie, but we're doing it.
We're doing it.
I don't give a damn because it's an insane movie that I have not seen, but you have, Barry Walsh.
I saw it in the cinemas. I was all around the hype. I remember hating every second. So
this has always been a movie that has intrigued. By the way, if you want to send in a film suggestion, send it to blockblunderspod@gmail.com. But this movie has always intrigued me. I never watched it.
Yeah, when did this come out?
2003. Okay.
Wait.
I was going to guess 2003.
2004.
Amazing. That sounds about right. I remember being a kid when this movie came out.
Yeah.
And being at around the sort of age that you would be to want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
But I also remember really not wanting to watch this movie. And even from the very beginning, from the moment I first heard it, having zero interest in looking like the most boring, terrible movie I'd ever seen.
Now, this is interesting because I would have been 10 when this came out, so I would have not believed in Santa anymore. So, by the way, spoilers, everyone. Santa, not real.
Yeah.
So when did you... I always find this interesting. When did you find out about Santa?
I have no memory of thinking Santa was real.
Okay.
That being said, really? I have very few memories of my very early childhood. I have a vague recollection perhaps of writing a letter to him.
Okay.
But I don't remember there being like a big reveal of, oh, by the way, I had older brothers. I still do. In fact, they didn't die. That makes it sound like they died.
12 older brothers.
I have older brothers, so maybe one of them broke it to me early or something, or I just picked it up from them.
It's hard to keep that illusion, I think, because I know that the difference between you and your brothers can range, right? From the oldest to you is quite big.
So this movie, what I know about it, I know it's a Robert Zemeckis film who did Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh.
I believe I even mentioned this film back in our very first episode because it was one of the films he did not long after Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yes, and I remember this now.
Funny thing about how, and sorry if you've just listened to the first episode and you're hearing me repeat myself, but Robert Zemeckis really good at this.
Someone listens to just the first episode and just the most recent one.
that's the Chad way to listen. But no, something about how, you know, in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, these incredible techniques of mixing live action and 2D animation.
Yeah.
Best film to ever do it.
Yeah.
Incredible, if you ever look at the behind the scenes of that movie, just incredible the lengths that they went to.
I'm sure laid the foundations for stuff like Space Jam or whatever, right?
Except that no film has ever done it anywhere near as good.
Yeah.
And Space Jam might have been before it. I'm actually not sure. I feel like they came out at the same time. Anyways, no film has ever done it as well. Incredible the length he went. It was almost like Lord of the Rings, the degree to which the camera techniques were being used to make it look great. And it really works. It really does look lived in world. Then he did The Polar Express, an early CGI movie.
Yeah.
Where it was, even when it came out, it was infamous for being this very unsettling looking film
and
very
much top CGI.
Being that uncanny valley thing of where it's too realistic for animation and too human looking.
Because they've got Tom Hanks in this and he's literally like he looks like Tom Hanks but animated, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. And same thing he did around the Beowulf movie, which I think was a bit after this.
I never saw that.
Very strange looking film. You've got Ray Winston, but they've CGI'd him to make him look young, and he's playing Beowulf. And then you have Angelina Jolie as Grendel's mother,
And she's made her old? Like,
no, no. They made us. They did this weird thing where they animated her body to look naked.
Oh.
And she was like, oh, I didn't know you were going to do that.
You can't do that.
And
what
it's weird because it looks a bit like me. Like, it's still early CGI.
Yeah, like how did you...
But they made it look exactly like Angelina Jolie, and then they made the character, like, sort of, like, not naked, but, like, naked, but with, like, a weird sort of body tattoo.
That's you know? So bizarre.
Yeah, very strange. Very weird thing. And, yeah, I think that's also Zemeckis. Anyways, so I know that about the movie. And beyond that, it's just this insane... I know that Tom Hanks plays, I believe, several characters.
Uh-huh.
I've made a decision here not to look at the cast list.
Yeah, we've gone real loose on this.
I feel like the concept is so there that I just fucking go for it.
We'll have to see. I don't know.
I feel like a cast list will only serve to limit me and not help me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure Tom Hanks plays several characters in this movie.
I don't remember.
That's what I believe to be the case. I think it's a Klumps situation, Nutty Professor, which we've got to get you to do at some point.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that one of those characters is the train conductor.
Okay, good. I was going to say, that's the only character I remember.
That is the character I know from this movie. Blue conductor hat, his big fucking mustache. I can feel like I can picture him in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain they meet Santa at some point because I believe the idea is that they're taking a train to Santa.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that leads me to assume that Santa is also voiced by Tom Hanks.
Probably.
And I know that there are weird... that there are children in this movie and they're the main characters. I remembered vaguely what they look like. I remember there's a young boy in a little fucking robe and there's a young black girl, I think, and like another little friend. And I remember that another part of this movie is that the CGI makes the children look incredibly unsettling. Yeah. Like, they don't quite... they look like a Renaissance painting of a child.
I'm going to get up some images.
Where they didn't know what... Or like a Renaissance painting of a baby. Where they just hadn't figured out proportions correctly.
The best is like Renaissance paintings of animals. Where they just have like a human face. Because
which is
like...
so strange to me.
That
as late as like, you know, the 1600s or something, they just didn't know how to paint with perspective properly.
Yeah, you
and
know what it
looks
like?
Suddenly people figured out how to paint with perspective and then suddenly they were like photorealistic.
You know what it looks like? It looks like what now would be like AI generated images. Like they look a little bit wrong. The face proportions are just a bit off.
And I know I spent hours every day typing into like the AI image generator a number of children taking a train to see Santa Claus and Tom Hanks everywhere.
Yeah, mine was J-Lo's naked body.
it was Angelina Jolie. By not doing the right callback, it makes it just sound like you have to look it up.
Yeah,
I'm
just
pictures
weird.
Of J-Lo.
But my J-Lo is Eric Cartman's hand when she plays J-Lo in that Zapp episode.
Anyway, so that's kind of what I'm working with.
So not a lot.
And I've definitely seen little bits of this movie like incidentally, but I think literally any scene I've seen has been located on the train. And I think one of the bits I saw, I think it was a dance sequence. That's what I meant. I mean, I'm picturing in my mind like waiters dancing on the train.
Now, I should use this moment really quickly to tell the listener that I have seen this movie, but ages ago when it came out, and surprisingly, I haven't gone and done a rewatch.
We made the executive decision not to subject Barry to a rewatch of this movie. He's refamiliarized himself with the plot.
Yeah.
I think any more than that is sort of filmic waterboarding. So I assume. I haven't seen the movie. Maybe it's great.
So if I say, yeah, that's it, and Pat goes, oh, there's some dancing scene, as a listener, if you're like, this is my favorite movie, there's absolutely no dancing scene in this film, you're listening to the wrong podcast. We do not get a lot of things right anyway.
If we have any inaccuracies here with the... Look, if you're a massive fan of the Poly Express and you love this movie, honestly, let us know. I'd be very curious. To me, this just seems like one of those movies like Mars Needs Mums and stuff like that, which just happened and disappeared. Its only existence in the zeitgeist was what an unsettling animation style. But I'm sure there were kids that grew up where it was like...
I don't know, because we were those kids probably.
No. But you know when you... Because it was still in that time period where you'd grow up and you just had that one film on DVD or VHS.
Yeah.
I guess this would have been DVD. That was just there. And yeah. So on holidays, or maybe at your parents', like if you at your grandparents' house or something, that was the only DVD they had. And so you just watched it over and over, and so it became a movie that you loved.
You do Christmas marathons, and it's like you've watched Home Alone, you've watched The Grinch, you've yeah. watched all the others, and you're like, well, I guess we'll put on Polar Express.
Yeah, exactly. Because for me, that movie is the Jimmy Neutron movie. Because my
I love that
aunt,
movie, though. Like, yeah.
My aunt had a VHS of the Jimmy Neutron movie.
Yeah.
And whenever I go to Melbourne to visit my family, my extended family,
yeah.
is, I wasn't some weird latchkey kid who's family in another state. We would stay at a house, and I would inevitably at some point watch yeah. Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius.
That was Willy Wonka for me. We've talked about this on another episode.
Yeah.
Where it was,
and that's why we make, you know, every time, the kids in America. Whoa!
Yeah, that's why anytime a vehicle flies in our in our crazy synopsises, it's like a roller coaster ride spinning in space.
It's why I can do a pitch perfect impression of both Carl Weezer, Jimmy, and Sheen.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy! Oh, Chalud!
Okay, but now I've got a question here.
Yeah.
If you were part of the kids going through space on those rides, which ride are you taking?
I would...
You can't take a single seat Jimmy Neutron ride either. You have to take one of the fucking... You either have to take roller coaster snake thing.
No. I'm taking... If I may add an Australian flavour to this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking a giant Luna Park gate.
A giant Luna Park gate.
You know, the gate to Luna Park.
What, the mouth?
Yeah. I'm flying forward.
Yeah, okay, that's
and it's going, and the mouth is moving.
Totally.
I suppose it doesn't have a bottom jaw. I guess that's where you walk in.
But I was expecting the jets were coming from the teeth. That's what
I
was thinking.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I gotta stop making noises. I've listened back, and when I make noises like that, it's so bad.
It just blows out.
Because in my head, it sounds epic.
Yeah.
It has reverberation.
For our international listeners, the Luna Park, you got to Google the Luna Park gate.
Yeah.
It's very frightening looking thing.
Look up the progression of it throughout the years, because it gets scary at one point.
And I think Melbourne has their own one as well. It's not the same. Ours is right by the Harbour Bridge.
Let's not give them that.
You walk in through a giant sort of clown's face, and when you leave, you go out through a giant butthole on the other end of the on the other end of a park. That's an old stand-up joke I had. I'm now reusing for this podcast.
I like it.
Yeah, it had to kick me out through the butthole. The other thing about Luna Park that you have to know, and we will get into the movie. This is me stalling because I haven't planned anything. Is that the bins at Luna Park? This is like a little theme park, basically, mainly for tourists. But you know, we would go there because I went to school near there. Hmm. They have these bins where they go to, you know, the classic. You have the regular bin of the recycling.
I think people know what bins are.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why I'm explaining. But I don't know if this is never to like encourage kids to throw out waste or whatever, but the bins at Luna Park are decorated to look like big fat clowns that you're feeding the garbage to. And the thing is, the clowns, it looks like inflation porn. Like deviant art, furry inflation
porn.
Yeah,
definitely.
These clowns have these big fucking giant bellies that are filled with garbage, and they're lying back being like, oh, don't feed me anymore. And you're shoving your fucking McDonald's drink into the mouth. It is disgusting. And in another way, very sexually arousing.
It's a fun little play. My memory of Luna Park is there's a ride called the Wild Mouse, and it famously has some really... It's like an old wooden roller coaster that probably shouldn't exist anymore. And there are really sharp turns.
Yeah.
And one of the sharpest turns actually takes place like dangling over the harbour water. Like, or just before it. Like,
someone I work with literally got whiplash from
had
to go to the doctor.
Yeah. It'll fuck you up if you're not prepared for it. And every time I'm like... If you just leaned in, you're going directly into that wall.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you just collapse.
No, it's a death trap. But no, visit Luna Park if you're ever in Sydney.
Yeah.
So, that is essentially what I had prepared for the Polar Express. I had no real... So, you were excited to see this movie. You went to see it in the cinema, but we're not...
I mean, I was 10. I don't know if I was excited to see the movie and asked to go. I think I got taken to the movies, and Polar Express was the one that we went and saw. Hmm. In the end... I don't even... Maybe I even watched it on DVD or something later on. Who knows? Like, it's one of those movies that I think gets brought up. But like you said, it's like that movie that you've got on DVD. I reckon at one point I was probably at a gatho or something, which is what Australians would call as a weird underage drinking event.
And you're like, chuck on Polar Express, mate.
Yeah, then we just watched Polar Express as we all like tried to get hand jobs or something.
Please, please, please. It's me. I can get blue balls. It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. And it's dangerous.
You going to chuck on Polar Express? You're not going to give me a hand job? I'm going to get blue balls. Terrible. So I think I need a bit of Christmassy Polar Express music.
Ching 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 ching
ching ching ching. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
So we open. We open up, and this is. I think I'm going to be.
Yeah, we're opening.
I think there's a very likely chance that I'm going to be wrong straight out the gate here.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, even though I think there's an American-made movie, an American-made director, and everything,
yeah.
For some reason, I think our main character, our little boy, is British. I don't know why.
Interesting.
I've just seen him, and he has a British look about him. Mm-hmm. I think if it's the kid I'm thinking of, he wears like a little like dressing gown.
Yeah.
And I'm also not going to set this movie in like 2003,
sure,
because it's an old train, and again I swear the kid wears a dressing gown and no kid in 2003 is doing that.
Kids
in 2003 are going to be wearing cargo shorts.
In 2003 I would have had my Harry Potter pajamas,
yeah.
Inspired, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If it was in 2003, if it was set in 2003, the kid would have been wearing like footy pajamas, like Where the Wild Things Are or something.
Cute, yeah.
Or the kid slept naked.
Yeah, okay.
those would be the two options.
But you are picturing he's got the old timey nightcap,
I hope I'm thinking of the right thing, and I hope I'm not, because I'm banking a lot on this. But I'm pretty sure when I think about this kid, he's like wearing a full on like dressing gown robe. With everything.
He is.
Great. All right. That's good.
Yeah.
So I think this kid's parents, they're having a very, it's a very fancy place that they're in.
Okay.
So I'm going to say British, but I think if it is American, they're like very Rudy Tooty.
Patrician American.
Upper West Side, yeah. Manhattanites. I think that's the fancy part. Maybe the Upper East. I don't know.
Yeah.
If Manhattanites, don't come at me. fancy and rich, basically.
Yeah, totally. They talk like this.
Yeah.
Like, do a pick apart.
Listen back to the Uptown Girls episode.
Yeah.
To hear more of us talking like this. But no, I'm going to go British. So they're in this big fancy mansion, and this kid is there with his two parents, and I think we're getting like a Charlie Brown style. We don't even like see the parents' face. They're just represented as like a tall suit and a tall dress. And we, you know,
yeah.
It's like, Barnaby, it's time for Christmas dinner.
Yes, Papa.
Where, Papa? Oh, Christmas. Are we going to eat the whole goose? You know,
no, only the good part.
They're having the dinner, and it's, you know, the long dining table.
Yeah.
Where the kids are way down at the other end. Yeah, exactly. And they're not talking, and the kid goes, I certainly hope I get a good present for Christmas this year. And they go, you'll get what you'll get and you'll be quiet. And he goes,
I love, this is rich parents who aren't spoiling their kid. I love it. Yeah. You've gone away from the trope.
This is what the thing is, that he's got a gift.
You earn your presents, child.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like they've gotten him, you know, a new badminton set for, you know, for when he takes his lessons. You know, it's not something fun. It's not a toy.
Yeah, sure.
It's something that he goes,
these are helicopter flying lessons, child. Yeah.
You'll need to ferry me to and from the country club.
Yeah. I'm
turning back into the American voice. Anyway.
It's, they're both.
You'll have to fly, not to the country club, you'll have to fly me to the gentleman's club.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
We sit on with smoking jackets and we talk about how it was a mistake to let women into the ornithological society. because of they're genetically incapable of spotting birds.
Yeah.
And he goes, yes, Papa. Anyways, he has a quiet, you know, and it's Christmas Eve.
Sure.
And he walks past the presents under the tree, which it's in the shape of like a new a filing tax machine or something. So you can tell it's gonna be something.
He has a wrapped up. It's what are those like printers that are in every office, like the big fuck off.
He goes, Papa, couldn't I get a train set for Christmas? He goes, a train set? No, there's no money to be made in that industry anymore. By God, we'll get you a light rail.
Are you going to print off my forms in a train set?
Yes, it's ridiculous. I'll have the servant beat you tomorrow.
A train to nowhere? Not on my watch.
Absolutely ridiculous. Don't you know that a public transport is a middle class job? Yeah. We're upper middle class.
That's right.
No. Not aristocracy.
We're old money, boy. No. We ride trains, drive them.
We ride trains, not think about them. So he sends him to bed.
We own trains. Anyway,
without any supper.
Yeah.
Anyway. The kid goes to bed and he looks up at some fucking weird Santa statue that he's got on his mantle.
He's got some Santa fucking...
Like a little wooden Santa, you know? Yeah, sure. Thing. He goes, oh, Santa. And then he gets into our first song of the... Because I think there's... I don't think there's a full musical. I think there's a couple of songs.
Yeah. He goes, when will Santa come for me?
But all the songs have to have some sort of... So he goes, I'm on track for Christmas.
Oh, brilliant.
I'm waiting for the train. Will Santa save me and take me from this pain?
I'm just writing this down. Pat, keep going.
The station. I'm using up all my train information. The station is my heart, and the conductor is an elf. And will I see Santa? Oh, will I fuck myself? And that's the end of the song.
Yeah.
And so he falls asleep.
So you're calling, to just get this clear, you're calling this kid kind of wishing for Santa.
He wants a Christmas experience that isn't ruined by his
Santa. Hasn't come. He's this kid's parents, every time Santa comes, they're like, not this year, boy. He's not earned
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And he wakes up. Because he hears the chugga 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 chugga, and he goes, "Well, this is bizarre. We're in the country home, you know. Yeah. This is miles from, you know, the city." And then he hears the hiss of the train breaking.
Yeah,
and it sounds like it's coming outside his window. But he goes, "But I'm on the 10th floor of our country manor. Why does it sound like it's coming just outside my window?" And he looks, peers outside, and suddenly, like. And I'm picturing very specifically here, like, he can, like, step out onto of his window, and the sill of the window sort of extends out to the platform.
I like this.
So it's almost like he climbs up from his window and has to pull himself up onto the platform.
Yeah, onto this, like, platform.
And he sees all these people hustling and bustling and running about.
Sure.
And he goes, oh, my gosh. He goes, what the hell? And he hears, all aboard! And he you know, looks and sees the conductor waving, and it's all kids getting on board.
There's
all these faceless businessmen running to and from, but it's all these children are coming up from, and he looks along and he sees other windows opening up onto this platform, like totally. Other little doors.
Little kids popping their head out.
I'm imagining like a sort of Monsters, Inc. sort of thing. Uh-huh. It's like, you know. You can see into all their different bedrooms, and it's kids from all different parts of the world.
Oh,
and,
I see. Yeah, cute. Know, yeah.
And they're all climbing onto this train. It's 2003, so I think we're getting like slight, not complete racial stereotypes, but slight racial. Like we see a girl from Hawaii climb out, and she's got a little like grass skirt on and stuff like that. Like just the kind of thing where you're like, I don't know if that's, you know.
Yeah, it's like, it's the thing that's not necessary, but the writers will like, make sure you tell she's
so
Hawaiian.
So you tell she's Hawaiian. You know, like a Chinese kid comes up and he's dressed like he's come from the Imperial Palace, you know, all things like that. And they're all going onto the train. They're all excited. And he's like, oh, what's going on? And he goes up to the conductor and goes, excuse me, sir, but I just came into my window and I don't know where I am.
You can't park a train here.
This is the Lakes District. You can't put a train here. And the conductor, and I can't do a Tom Hanks voice.
Yeah, okay.
But this is Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. And he goes...
Tom Hanks looks like in this movie... The animated Tom Hanks in this movie looks exactly like John Mulaney's J.J. Bittenbinder. Like...
Right. Big bushy mustache and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Hanks goes, there's a snake in my boot.
Oh, no, great. That was perfect. That's exactly what he says, too.
No, he goes, you know... son, why don't you just get on the train and all your questions will be answered.
This was back before anyone had any get on the train, boy, and don't ask questions.
It's set vaguely.
Shut up.
I said it wasn't set in 2003, but I didn't say when it was set. I'm imagining like the 50s.
Sure.
And he goes, you know, why don't you hop aboard and we'll, you know,
we'll bring you back.
Yeah, well, don't worry, you'll be home just in time to open your presents. And he goes, well, I don't. And then two kids grab him and he goes, come on, join us.
To two of Tom Hanks' goon kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they go, no, it's fun, you'll love it. And they pull him aboard. And he goes, oh, bother me rotten, all right. Let's go. Oh, fuck me sideways. And he gets on the train and he sits in this cart where all these other kids are having fun and playing and chatting with each other. And it's like, it's like, you know, it's a train on for a school trip, you know, and they're all going together.
There's one kid playing with a paddleball and a ball. Yeah. And a ball. Yeah, it's
another kid's all got chaos. The egg cup thing. Yeah. One kid is hitting a hoop with a stick through the...
down the aisles. The
because it's also like kids are playing up at the luggage racks. Like, it's crazy. It's, totally. It's like, they're swinging around. It's a classic, like, this is a well where there are no adults sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the kid goes... and it's occurring to me as I'm saying this, I am sort of just doing Peter Pan, but that's all right. I'm like, I've got such specific images in my mind. I'm like, those are the images of Peter Pan.
And then there's and then Santa has a hook.
And he's scared of crocodiles. Anyways, and so the kid sits down and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, my name is, and a reminder, I haven't looked at the cast list, so I'm just going to go, my name is Bartleby.
Yeah.
Who are you two? And the two little kids, one's a girl, and she's like, I'm Sarah, I'm from America, you know. And this is, you know, Lukash. What? This is Bruce from Sydney.
And cool.
Little Bruce goes, g'day, Cobber. Fuck me sideways.
That's every kid's catchphrase in this movie.
And she goes, boy, you look a little confused. Have you never been on the Polo Express before? And he goes, well, no, I'm afraid I haven't. I don't have a spiffing idea what the spuff is going on. and she goes, well, you know, this is the train that we go on every year, and it's just, you know, it's for kids who really love Christmas, and you know, if we and we get to take a tour of the North Pole.
Sick.
And he goes, oh my God, I get to meet Santa.
North Pole excursion.
And she goes, that's right, we all get to meet Santa, we all get to hang out, and we get to see the elves, and we get to see, and it's fantastic. And he goes, oh my God, I can't believe it. This is lovely. This is absolutely wonderful. And the conductor comes in there and it's Tommy. He goes, howdy, kids. Like, welcome to the Polar Express.
Howdy, kids. He's Woody. He's Woody.
you are a toy. That wasn't bad. That kind of good. And he goes, welcome, everyone. Next stop, the North Pole. And all the kids go, yay! And he goes, but first up, you know. We can't go to the North Pole on an empty stomach.
Yeah! It's the Simpsons bit.
Yeah.
So we'll have to get gruel.
That's good. And he goes like, so it's time for the dinner service.
Yay!
And he throws the doors open and all these fancy waiters...
This
file
is
it.
Harry Potter feast stuff going on in the train, for sure.
This is the thing that kids love, feast scenes.
Yes.
You know, it's incredible. All kinds of weird foods, colourful foods.
Foods that don't, like, you know, there's no reasonable way to get a bunch of kids to eat a full turkey, but, like, there's a full turkey that they're just ripping into.
Mm-hmm. so now there's another song, because I have this image in my mind of the waiters doing some sort of dance. And am I thinking Beauty and the Beast to be our guest? It's very possible. But
well, they'd sing that. Yeah, they do that. Sing that one. Yeah.
But I.
Lumiere comes.
I swear that's a scene that I've seen this movie, like waiters dancing with the toes or something like that.
Guest, be our guest on the Polar Express. Anyway.
Well, so they have to do a song that's food related but also train related. so I'm going to say.
It's the dining cart. It's got to be the dining cart song.
Yeah,
welcome
exactly.
to the dining cart.
Yeah. Welcome to the dining cart. We are going to feed
all
you.
All the food your heart could take.
All the food your heart can take. We are going to eat you. Just kidding. No, we won't. Here it is. And enjoy. The food is all train related. Here's some oil for joy. Anyways, and there's the big dance thing, and all the kids eat all the different food, and it's delicious and delicious and great.
The soundtracks, the musical bits in the backgrounds are accompanied by, like, you know, like, that's the percussions and stuff. Like,
chomp, 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 chomp.
Yeah.
Anyway, and it's all great, and they're, you know, yum, 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 yum. And they're getting to know each other, and Bartleby goes, you know, we hear that that the Bruce from Australia grows up, and he's from, you know, I think I might have said Sydney before, but no, he's from, like, you know, out the outback. He's from this, you know, tiny, he's from this two-horse town, you know, let's say Galagambone, and it's, you know, he's poor, and he's grown up poor and everything.
Have
and,
you ever, sorry, dude, can I interrupt you? Have you ever been overseas, and then, like, you, okay, so I won't even ask this question, I'll just lead into this story. It just reminds me, having an Australian in this story is just reminding me of, so when I went to Peru with a friend, we traveled halfway across the road to South America to Peru to go deep into the Amazon jungle and, like, do plant medicines and have, like, ayahuasca. Yeah. The first person we meet at the center after traveling, like, 40 fucking hours to finally get to this place, this guy, I see a guy who's blonde hair, about 6'1", and I'm like, oh no. I go up, I'm like, hey, I'm Barry. He goes, g'day, I'm Bryce, I'm from Byron. And I was like, I've traveled too far to meet you, motherfucker. That's like, so get out of here.
No, no, I know what you mean. Yeah. It's, I mean, the only good thing is that Australians, unless you're going to Asia, Australians are generally well liked as tourists, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. Don't look into
don't
it.
Don't ask the bowl, you know, don't ask Indonesian people what they're Australians. But, anyways, so and then he talks to Sarah or Susan or whatever I said her name was. And
Sarah,
she,
you said Sarah.
You know, and she's her dad's works in the army, and so she's traveling from place to place in America, and she's always in a different.
Cool. We're finding out a bit of the lore behind.
Yeah, exactly. And he talks about, you know, oh well, my father is the number one sugar. He owns British sugar.
He owns sugar.
Yeah. And he goes, wow, you must eat lollies every night. He goes, well, no, my father.
I wouldn't be cutting into profits.
My father feeds me nothing but pudding and porridge. He says that a real gentleman's teeth never break bread until his wedding day. Interesting. And you know, and so he controls everything in my life, and I feel rotten, and I want to have a Christmas adventure. And they say, oh well, you're going to love this. You know, it's great. It's the Polish Christmas. We're going to go meet Santa Claus. Suddenly, the train starts to roll to a stop.
Oh fuck!
Trouble.
Oh no.
The conductor comes out and goes, oh, don't worry, kids. We just have there must be a little problem with the engine, but I'll go check it out.
How quickly does this become like a horror?
No.
Don't get off the train now, or the monster.
Don't get off the train now because we're in the middle of the, and they look outside and they're in the middle of the Arctic.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's nothing but you know, hail and blizzard and everything outside the window. And he goes, you know, but don't worry, I'll be right back, and you just sit down and we'll sing another song soon, and you know. Then and he goes off, and the kids go, oh well, you know, geez, well, I hope we don't miss Santa because he's very busy, and you know, there's only a certain
Christmas
time.
Eve, notoriously Santa's busiest day.
Yeah. And then as the kid's going, oh well, you know, a bit of a delay, but that's all right, you know, we didn't pay for the tickets, so it's
a bit of a delay.
And Bartleby's looking out the window, and he's seeing sort of there's movement outside in the blizzard. He sees shadows moving.
Oh,
he's not sure what it is. And suddenly there is another big booming knock on the carriage door. And then it gets pulled open, and it's Krampus.
Krampus?
Krampus.
Who's Krampus?
Krampus.
Is this a character you're making up, or
no,
is this someone?
This is Krampus is like the evil Santa.
Oh fuck.
He's like a I think it's like a German folk tale or something. But he's basically like, before they combined Santa to both give out coal to bad kids and give presents to good kids, it's like Krampus was the guy who took care of the bad kids, and he would like give them coal, and he'd chuck you in his basket and like whip you with branches or something.
Fucking hell.
And he's like a little sort of, he's like a goblin-y sort of, he's got like goat legs and shit like that. He sort of looks like Satan, really, but but Krampus. And he goes, sorry kids, it looks like this train's going on. And this, by the way, is Tom Hanks as well.
Voicing it. Tom Hanks voices everyone that's not a kid, I'm assuming.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Tom Hanks was doing a British accent voicing the dad. Again, a very Peter Pan thing. and this time he's doing like his voice. Did you watch Elvis, the movie Elvis?
No, I didn't go see it.
Well, he plays Colonel Tom Parker, and he's the whole time he's doing like this weird like, hello Elvis.
Interesting.
That's the voice he's doing for Krampus here. This is where he pioneered
that voice, yeah. That's why he got the role in Elvis.
Exactly. He goes, sorry, looks like this train is getting hijacked. and all these little Krampus minions coming in, and they start start taking all the food out of the kids' hands, and they start gobbling.
They do the opposite to Ho Ho Ho, where they go oh.
That's a great bit of a podcast. I like the Teacher's Lounge. Shout out South Pole Center. Anyway. And they crawl in and they eat all the food that the kids are eating, and they're taking away some of the little toys that they had and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My teddy.
Yeah, and he goes, I think that all you kids have actually been quite bad this year, so I'm taking you to my Krampus lair, where instead of toys and presents and workshops, you'll go to sweatshops and you'll be eating coal, and I'll be whipping you, and you won't get back till Easter. And they go, oh, no, oh, my God.
Aww.
So it's like he's still going to return them.
Yeah.
They're gonna be, and he goes, oh, not until Easter. Gosh, we'll miss St. Swithin's Day, and we'll miss the pudding week, and we'll...
My parents will have me replaced by then.
My parents will get the whipping boy and beat him to an inch of his life. And
the whipping boy.
Yeah, that's aristocratic kids. You couldn't whip an
aristocrat. Yeah, yeah. So you have a boy to send the message.
Yeah. My parents used to say they're there to kick in the nuts, boy. Every time I was acting up, they'd kick this kid in the nuts.
I'm starting to see why you don't remember your childhood, bastard.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And panic ensues.
Sure.
But while all this panic is going on, Bartleby hears Sarah go, psst, down here. Ooh. And he looks down, and she's crawled into one of the little... sort of service like side doors that like an engineer would use to get outside of the carriage. She goes, come with me. He goes, what? But it's a blizzard out there. He goes, quickly. And he goes, okay. And Bruce goes, dinky die, fucking hell. What a scary thing. But
we have so many things, like fair dinkum, you know? Where was that?
I couldn't think of it. Yeah. I refuse to be a stereotype.
You dinky dimes. You were so close to Fair Dinkum. Yeah, you went for it.
They get into the outside of the train, and it's blizzards and blizzard. And they go, oh, we have to get to some other carriage where we can be safe. And they sidle along the side of the train.
Sure, yeah.
And every now and then they pass like a signal pole or whatever that's like,
whoa,
and they push back against the door. It's like, oh my god, and they sidle along the train.
Tunnel's coming, is this?
Exactly. And they dive into like one of the sort of storage compartments of the
no one will find us
of
here
the train, you know. And
quick, try to look like some luggage.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've got an idea of a great trope that I always love in these types of movies, okay, right? Yeah. Which is where they go, they go inside. And they go, oh gosh, quick, we need to find something to help, you know. And they open up all these luggage things, and they're like, oh gosh, it's nothing but clothes. And we're just seeing fur coats, and we're seeing, you know, feather boas and stuff like that. And then they go, wait a second. Wait, if you put on this fur coat and I put on this feather boa and we arrange this like this, we look exactly like a couple of goblin little minions.
Oh, cool. You know? Yeah, sweet.
So they do that. They dress up themselves to look like
little Krampus's
little fairy little minions.
Yeah.
And they go, what do we do? It's like, well, we have to figure out to get a control of this train before it arrives, and you know, and he takes us on the wrong, you know, destination towards the Krampus's lair.
Anti-North Pole.
You know, and she goes, I've taken this trip before. I know there's a signal box up, you know, in 10 minutes or 20 minutes, we're going to hit the signal box that changes directory.
It's taken directions.
That goes left for Krampus's thing and right for Santa's workshop.
All we have to do is pull the lever.
And it's like, yeah, all we need to do is pull the lever. But it's at the front of the train. Uh-huh. And the conductor's compartment. And they go, all right, well, let's hope these disguises work. And they walk into the next compartment where all the kids have now been chained to the walls.
And all
the goblins are going,
just menacing them.
Exactly. And they walk up, and one of the goblins stops and goes, hey, where you guys come from? And they go, we were here the whole time. And,
we were doing inspections down the rest of the carriage.
Yeah. Oh, really? We expected that everything was neat and tidy? And Bartleby was like, well, yes, of course. And then Bruce goes, no, mate, we were expecting to make sure they were dirty and mean.
Yeah, we've ruined it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, good. Yes, yeah. Excellent. That's what we're opposite people. We like the opposite. And Bruce whispers to the other, I'm from down under, so I'm used to things being opposite. opposite.
Our water goes the other way.
Our water goes the other way. Our winter is summer and our summer is winter.
Yeah, I'm all about the opposite.
And Barnaby goes, how do you live? And he goes, it's every day is a struggle. anyways, so they go through a bit and they're walking through the compartments, and then one of the goblins goes, wait a second. If you guys are really serious, why don't you go torture this kid?
Get answers out of that boy. He knows things.
Yeah, yeah, we don't need to know anything, but just ask him what he knows.
Torture him.
And Barnaby goes, yes, of course. Well, and then Sarah goes, I've got an idea. And she goes, we're going to do something so horrible, we don't want the rest of you to see. They take the boy off the chain, and the boy goes, oh, no, no, no. Oh, fuck, don't kill me. Don't fucking kill me. Yeah. No, please. And they take him into, like, through the doors into the next apartment, and then they go...
They do some offstage violence.
Yeah, exactly. They just go with this. And they start banging sticks against the wall. And they go, and the kid goes... And the gag here is that... the kid starts to be like, oh no, please don't hurt me, ow, ow, and they go, you have to be more convincing, and the goblin says, hey, you guys should, you know, be a bit harder, and so then the kid starts being like,
I don't hear the tease.
Yeah, exactly. Then the kid starts going like, oh fuck, oh, and it's like an incredible and
mother
please, you know, and it's like bone chilling.
No, please, no more, no.
No, not my balls, not my bzzz. And then they go
chilling scene.
Yeah. Anyway, but then one of the goblins opens the compartment, and be like, "Wow, you really? Wait a second!" And then
they punch him in the gut.
yeah, and then it leads to this whole chase, and they shed the clothes, and all the goblins are chasing them. And they run through all the compartments and all the different, and the waiters are being tied up and everything. And they get to the front compartment of the train, and the conductor's there tied to a chair with a ball stop. And like,
he's got like black eyes and shit. He's all fucked up.
And they pull the thing down. And they go, "Where's Krampus? Where's Krampus?" And they barred the door so the other goblins couldn't get through.
Yeah.
And he goes, Krampus said he was going to wait in his lair for everyone to arrive. But we got to stop. We got to get to Santa instead. And the kid's like, yes, of course, God. Which lever? And the guy just says, oh, the lever's over there, but oh, God, I'm so weak.
They took my arms.
Yeah, yeah. Bleeding stuff. And they go, oh, gosh. And they grab the lever, and it takes all three of them to press the brake thing on the lever, and they pull it. And it changes the thing ahead. I know that's probably not how a train works.
But it's like, yeah, it's definitely not on the train that they can do that. But yeah, I love it.
And it just flicks the track ahead, and they do it just in time.
Yeah.
And it heads off towards Santa's workshop. And they're, oh, phew, oh my gosh. And the kid goes, oh, God. All right, well, let's
quick, kid, there's a gun under the seat.
Yeah.
Go and take out the other minions.
The conductor throws the door open, all the goblins are there waiting. And he goes, well, guys, guess what? We're on the tracks now to Santa's workshop, and unless you want Santa to find it, I suggest you all jump ship. And the goblins go, oh my God,
not Santa.
All, yeah, not Santa, oh fuck. And they all leap off the train into the snow.
They tuck and roll.
You know. And all the kids like, oh great. And he goes, well, we're, you know, half an hour away from Santa's workshop, and
then
it's all the kids. They release each other, and they unlock the keys, and this is a time for another song where they go, here we are for Santa. Santa is almost here, and if he loves us, we will get a return ticket every year. And Santa is our friend, and Santa is so cool. And if he loves us, then we will not be anyone's fool.
Lovely.
I'm and they sing the Santa song. And they arrive at Santa's...
Right at the end of that song. Perfectly timed.
Yeah. They arrive at Santa's workshop. No, there's like 6 minutes of just waiting around. I'm just twiddling their thumbs.
They do it time accurate.
Yeah. And we see... And we get this beautiful reveal of like... They go up this mountain. Then the other side of the mountain, we see the valley of Santa's workshop.
Yeah, beautiful.
And all the reindeer and all the elves who are somersaulting and cartwheeling and fucking building shit.
They make work look
like,
fun.
Oh my God, wow. This is incredible. And they pull into the station, and Santa's there to greet them, and it's Tom Hanks again. He goes, ho, 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 hello, children, welcome to my workshop. Oh, I certainly hope you had a bump, you didn't have a bumpy ride. And then Bartleby goes, well, actually, Santa, it was quite a chilling experience, don't you know? Because that sinister Sally Krampus almost tried to kidnap us. And Santa goes, oh, well, that Krampus, he's a tough customer, but you did a well done, and here's a special gold star from Santa. And he touches Bartleby on the nose, and his nose transforms into a beautiful star like on a Christmas tree. And he goes,
beautiful.
And Santa goes, and that's permanent. And Bartleby goes,
great. And one of the elves like has to whisper in Santa's ear about the situation. He goes, really? Yeah. We'll sort that out later.
Yeah. And he goes, Mr. Conductor, let's lead the kids on a tour. And the conductor goes, and this is Tom Hanks talking to Tom Hanks, being like, yes, certainly, Santa, may I say, you have a very handsome voice. And so Santa takes the kids on a tour, and he sings them a little song as he gives them a tour. But it's Tom Hanks who presumably can't sing.
Okay.
So it's a kind of, he does like a kind of talk singing.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. He's a talking character in a musical.
I love Christmas. Christmas is my job. Christmas is my job. And this is what I do for a living. This is my Christmas job.
All the elves come in.
For you, it's fun, but for me, it's a job. Yeah. Any job, no matter how fun, eventually becomes annoying.
Do you reckon it'd be funny? It'd be a funny bit to write up. You know those like job listings that are really, you can tell the workplace is toxic as fuck because of how fun they make it sound. You do that, but for like the elf, be an elf in the workshop.
We're not looking for team motivated. Someone to clock in at 9 and clock out of 5. Yeah. We're looking for someone who has tiny dexterous hands and is excited to make a children's entire year.
That's it. Yeah. But we're looking for people who want to give themselves to the spirit of Christmas.
We want a work flexible arrangement in which only one roster day a year, but you'll be expected to be a team player.
5 to 6 years experience creating toys for children is necessary and required, but it is an entry level Christmas job.
We're looking for like someone who loves animals because you're going to have to clean up reindeer shit. Like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways. And Santa gives them, shows them the whole
he reveals thing. All.
Yeah, it's he shows them the whole Willy workshop Wonka. And everything. And he goes, and then he goes, takes to his house, meets Mrs. Claus, and he goes, and inside this door, and there's a big glowing door, he goes, is where I store all my Christmas magic.
Ooh.
And it's very, you know, I can't show you kids, but it's where I open the door and I take a little thimble and I
dip it in.
Dip the thimble in and get, that's just enough magic to last for the whole year. And that's all, you know. And they're like, oh, wow, what fun, you know, great. And then he goes, but you kids, you three, and he points to Bruce and Sarah and Bartleby.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, for doing such a good job of saving the day and saving the train, I'm going to let you I'm going to show you the room of Christmas magic. And Mr. Conductor, you as well, as an apology for
you. Hopefully your arms will grow back.
And they go, oh, great. Oh, fantastic. And he opens them into this door, and it's like, it, even though it's just a door in his house, it opens into this beautiful, and it's the one part that's not all snow. This is like a hot spring.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it's like a fountain coming down. It's grass green everywhere. And goes, here's where I store all my Christmas magic. Isn't it beautiful? And they all dive into the water and they're like, oh, that's great. That's great. But oh gosh, Mr. Conductor, don't go too far. And the conductor goes towards the waterfall and he goes, finally! And
his
at the very top of his conductor's head starts to burn down.
Down
his whole face.
You got me.
And Albert burns down to his very feet, which become goat hooves. And it's Krampus.
Oh.
And he disguises himself as the conductor
you
the whole time.
You fucking got me.
And he goes, finally, the Christmas magic shall be mine, and I'll put a stop to every train visiting Christmas Town, and I'll redirect them all to my Krampus mines, where the children will be mining coal, and there'll be FIFO workers, and they'll get black lung. As he stands in the waterfall, the water starts to turn black, and it spreads amongst all the water, and Santa starts to go, oh, and he like Santa starts to waste away. Like, he goes, Mr. Bartleby, I don't feel so good, and it starts to disintegrate, like in Avengers.
Fuck.
And Bartleby goes, Santa, and he holds Santa, and Santa's like, and fully disintegrates into the mist.
But he dies first. He dies in his arms and then disintegrates.
And suddenly Barnaby's.
I think it's better. Like, can I ask, yeah, instead of it disintegrating like in Avengers?
Yeah.
Can we ask that he melts in his hands? Oh, yeah, and like it goes from like the skin, the flesh,
play,
and then
it plays the Indiana Jones like bum 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 as his flesh melts away
until he's just holding the last bits of his spine.
Yeah, and he goes, oh, fuck.
And crunches it as he clenches his fist.
Yeah, yeah, he crumbles into dust. Yes.
What and, have you done to
Krampus
Santa?
Krampus goes, I'll take that, and goes, and drinks up the last of Santa. And like, no, no, God, what has he done? And Krampus goes, you know, now Christmas shall be mine forever, and Christmas shall always be ruined, and always be British and annoying and upper class. And Barnaby goes, no, this is the one thing I didn't want to happen. Oh, this is absolutely fucking spunking awful. And Sarah goes, you know, some American phrase, only in New York.
Hot damn.
And Bruce goes,
fuck me.
Yeah, goes, Struth. There you go, that's Australian. Nice.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they hear like, hold on, kids, ring, ding, 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 and through the building, size blasts in through one side of the wall. The train blasts through and hits Krampus.
Yeah.
And the kids go, oh my God. And the conductor's like, I broke out of that, you know, where you tied me up in, you know, hop on. And the train blast past.
Can I suggest a cool action movie line? I had it. Christmas is coming early, kids.
And they're like, only slightly because it's Christmas Eve. They leap onto the train, the train blasts past and it hits Krampus, who's just stuck on the front of the train. And they climb into the front of the conductor's compartment. They're like, oh my God. And he's like, yes, I broke out of the last second. I've hit. And it's like, you saved the day. And he's like, not yet, I haven't. Krampus is still crackling with Christmas energy. And you see Krampus be like, starts to be like, Norum Goyo Story. And he starts like,
blood starts seeping from his body and forming runes on the floor.
And the conductor goes, any moment now he's going to break free of this train and it'll vaporize us all. And the kids go, oh my God, what can we do? He goes, well, there is only one thing to do. If I take this train and launch it directly into the side of the station, the entire train.
It's not a magical Christmas thing.
Yeah.
The only thing we can do is slam this guy into
a brick wall. And it'll put an end to him once and for all. And the kids go, oh my God, is that all right? And he goes, yes, but there must always be a conductor of the Polar Express. Can't you see? The train will be fine and Santa will be back, but there must always be a conductor. And Bruce goes, oh well, you know, I don't. My family will miss me, but you know, if someone's got to do it, I'll do it. And Sarah goes, no, it's all right. You know, gosh, my parents will miss me, but you know, I've got to do it. And Barnaby goes, well, boy, I don't think my parents would miss me very much. Why don't bloody hell? Why don't I do it? And the conductor goes, well, if you say so, kid.
Fair enough, Barnaby.
Fair enough. And he goes, now, but be well, kids, be safe. And he tosses them out into the snow, and they land in the snow. And they turn around, and they see the train smash into the wall, and Krampus goes,
It looks, they switch it to claymation, and he spreads out like it's a, like those presses.
And it's like, the Zemeckis has done it
again. Hydraulic press, yeah.
And it explodes in this massive explosion, and the conductor's hat lands charred in the dirt next to them. And Bartleby goes, oh, well, I suppose I'll try it on. And he puts on the hat, and then he goes like, and his body starts to stretch out, transformed, and he turns into Tom Hanks.
Into Tom Hanks.
And he goes, boy, thanks, kids. I'm glad Bartleby gave up his body to be a vessel for the conductor.
He takes over the body.
And Santa suddenly...
I told you, there must always be a conductor.
There must always be a conductor. And then Santa, like Nightcrawler, bamps, like just suddenly appears in a cloud of smoke and goes... He goes, boy, the Christmas magic must have returned to me. Well, thanks, kids. And they're like, what happened to Bartleby? Like, don't worry about Bartleby. I'd say it's about time for you kids to go home.
He sacrificed himself for Christmas, kids.
Yeah. And so the kids all lied back into the train, which is miraculously reformed in the station.
Yeah, it's magic.
And they all board on. And the conductor gets onto the train, and he's just about to—he's about to give all aboard. And he looks in the dark glass of the train window, and he sees in his reflection his little Bartleby wearing the conductor's hat. And he winks it at his reflection. Bartleby winks at him, and then he goes, "All aboard!" Credits.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the Polar Express.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's so far from what? It. It's really, it's surprisingly,
so far out that I got it so correct?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so wild. You added, obviously the Krampus thing. Yeah. I understand that, but you added a conflict in it that, I think you were looking for what is the kind of conflict of this movie and what is the, our main character, the conflict of this movie is that he doesn't believe in Santa.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would make a lot of sense to put in there. That's really a classic Christmas movie.
So
thing,
the
isn't
whole
it?
Movie is basically about him finding his Christmas spirit.
Yeah. That makes sense.
There's a special bell that the movie ends basically with him coming back. There's a weird part of like the train.
Are there songs?
I don't remember. I don't remember that part. Also, I don't know if it's... I think it's set in modern time. The reason the train is old is because it's like a magical train that turns up
at
places.
But he does wear a dressing gown?
Yeah, I mean, I have a dressing gown.
Yeah, but that's weird.
It's weird. It's winter.
It's weird for
it's
a child.
Cold. I had dressing gowns when I was a kid.
You live in Australia. It's not that cold.
My mom liked a dressing gown.
I have a dressing gown, but I didn't wear it as a child.
If it was snowing, I think you'd wear it.
That's crazy. That's fucked up. If you're from the Northern Hemisphere and you wore a dressing gown as a child, I just want you to know you're fucked up.
It's totally normal. No, so there's this, like, the whole thing of the movie is like, there's a bell that this guy gets basically to prove that, like, he understands Christmas, he learns about Christmas spirit and believes in Santa by the end.
Yeah.
I don't believe that there's anything that goes necessarily wrong. Like, I don't think that there's anything that, like, Christmas is never in danger.
Yeah.
It's all about this one kid believing.
Just him finding his Christmas spirit.
I think so. Don't come at me if I'm wrong about that. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, there's a bell that you can only hear if you believe in Santa. And most adults can't hear it, but the kids are like excited about hearing it.
Yeah.
And it ends with him as an adult still ringing the bell and able to hear it so he doesn't lose his Christmas spirit ever.
Oh, he's still able to hear
it.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, that's actually...
He goes to Christmas... He goes to meet Santa.
Bring him on the train. They go to meet Santa. He's like, basically, Tom Hanks is like, I'll prove Santa's real. I'll take you.
Yeah, right.
And on the way, there's a kid who's like, also kind of like, hey, look, I want to go to the Polar Express too. And Tom Hanks is like, can't pick that boy up. He's naughty. Something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
But the main kid like pulls the handbrake and like stops the train.
Oh my God.
And that's where you kind of maybe have seen that scene where the train's fucking sliding out of control.
Oh, I haven't
seen
that. But
anyway, that happens.
Well, happened in my
They bring on this other kid who's also skeptical. And acts as, I think he's the more skeptical. That kind of is the pulling force away from Santa of the movie for the main character.
And Santa vaporizes that skeptical kid.
Yeah. On sight.
Yeah.
Santa goes, jollifies him.
He like looks through his glasses and lasers shoot out.
It's more fucked. It's like that thing where he shoots lasers and then instead of vaporizing, his smile like grows and he's like forced happy all of a sudden. Like, yeah. Get him working in the
get him working.
Get this boy over
in the cinnamon mines.
Yeah.
Cinnamon mines. Yeah. Not well, that sounds lamer than my version. My version.
Yeah, your version
cool
sounded
rad.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's what's wrong with the movie. You know, it's not well regarded.
Yeah, right.
So I think out of a total of 11 train carriages.
How about on a total of them, if we're taking a train from Central to Emu Plains, how far do I get?
you didn't leave Central Station. You never left.
You believed
in Santa.
I didn't even get to like Redfern.
No, because you didn't. You right from the start. You were like, so he believes in Santa. And
I had the train.
Yeah.
I knew there was a train.
That's the only...
Imagine if I said the Polar Express was a boat, you know? Then I would have been really
That'd be the only way you would have gotten it more wrong.
Okay, whatever. All right, Barry, where can people listen to Block Blunders?
You can listen to Block Blunders wherever you listen to podcasts. Please leave a review if you haven't already on whatever you're listening to. Go over onto other services and leave a review if you'd like. Tell your friends about us and try to grow. Leave a suggestion if you want. You can follow us on Instagram. We're Block Blunders on Instagram. And you can leave an email at blockblunderspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, and you'll know when Christmas comes. Also, I don't know why we did a Christmas movie in fucking April, but we did.
It's Easter.
There's no Easter movies. We should have done a Hop.
They really don't do a lot of like Easter movies.
Except
they should do some badass like Jesus coming back from the dead action stuff.
Yeah, I suppose it's like The Last Temptation of Christ, an Easter movie.
I was working on a... I'll tell you later.
You know when it is Christmas time because... You hear that voice of Santa flying overhead going, ho, ho, ho!
That's a movie!